Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. So let's bring her out. The star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
Very relaxing episode of Kill Me Now because we're post huge snowstorm.
Yes.
I'm in a beautiful apartment.
Thank you.
Right by Carnegie Hall where my mother's first cousin lived most of his life. So I've been coming to this building since I'm a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are. Now my mother used to say about her cousin Arthur's apartment, she would say, because it was Arthur and Dottie.
Okay.
They lived here.
Mm-hmm.
And Dottie had teeth that would be like, she was always like this, you know. And one time we were driving together and in the city. And I remember he was like, I don't know which way to go. And she said, even east, Arthur. Even east. So every time we say even east all the time. But.
You think of my lobby?
Dan, I think of,
my
yes.
My husband Dan says that in the lobby, it's like the cast of Cocoon.
He said, it's amazing.
It's but really interesting said, for me to be the youngest person anywhere.
Well, my mother said that Dottie never opened the windows in her apartment.
That would make sense.
Even a star. So here we are today. This is a very special episode of Kill Me Now with the very special, amazing, multi-talented, just an incredible human being. Kathy Najimy is here, ladies
Thank
and gentlemen.
You, thank you so much.
Let's
so
just mention that
here.
Lauren was 45 minutes late because of the snow.
Yeah.
And I'm never late, so it was really annoying.
Yeah. I'm really sorry about that. Got to be more
it's
like
fine.
You.
Yeah. I want you to be more like me.
I'm trying.
But you have the most beautiful home. I love it. And you wrote on the the board welcomed Judy and Hennessy with a heart, and that's really
beautiful.
That was
beautiful. So sweet.
Did and I spell just Hennessy all right?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Okay, good.
Spell it any way you want.
And you forgot to say I have snacks. I always have
snacks.
Oh,
yes, snacks.
It's one of my downfalls. If, like, the plumber is coming over to fix a pipe, mm-hmm. I put out a spread of hummus, veggies, chips,
now,
and salsa.
Did your mother do that?
Yes, it's a Lebanese thing.
Like, it's a Jewy thing, too.
Yeah, you don't have anyone come into your house. I don't care if it's someone dropping off mail.
Right.
I don't care who it is. The exterminator. You spread the food all over the bar, all kinds of food.
That's like Chemda, my wife, who's Israeli, but similar.
There you go.
They have a spread out for everyone.
You have to put food
That's
out.
Great.
No, not,
and I
not
like
me.
To.
It do you makes... do it 45 minutes late, though, oh or you do God. It right on time when they're going to be
no,
there?
No, I usually do it on time.
Okay.
She's all red.
He. Whatever. It's
fine. I'm pretty. Can't help it.
Now, if you don't know Kathy... Everyone knows Kathy Najimy.
Pretty much everyone.
Don't you think
everybody?
Do you get recognized all the time?
No, I get. This is how I get recognized. I get recognized if something was on TV the night before.
Ha, right.
I always know. Like I'm at the airport and everyone's like, "Oh, I don't like when people pull and touch me. I don't like that part." But it's because something reran the night before.
Right, right.
But I'm not in the national. I'm not in the consciousness right now like the Kardashians or anything.
Well, be happy for that.
I am.
So Kathy Najimy.
Yeah. Judy. Let me just say.
Go.
We spent the first 20 minutes with her coming in the house, really being lovely and gracious and telling me how beautiful the apartment was. Well, but with a bit of like a knife, why do you have such a knife? Why don't you invite me to game night? Why? She sat down at the piano and I was like, that sounds beautiful. She's like, shut up. Why didn't you invite me before? I would have played this a million times should you have invited me. I go, well, I don't know. I just.
Yeah, you
know.
Have your little. It's like, I feel like Kathy Najimy has a little group of her like really famous cool. Like they're hip and cool. Like they're really cool friends.
Not really.
And I feel like I always see you and you crack me up and I love hanging out with you and I love Dan, your husband. But I'm not in. I'm not like in your little.
Have you ever invited me anywhere?
Lauren, can you please let Kathy know that I can't fit anyone in my apartment? Go.
No, I'm saying there's a Starbucks across the street. She could have said, hi, Kathy, it's Judy. Do you want to go for a walk?
You know what? I'm doing that now. First of all, I'm not going for a walk. I can barely.
I can't. I'm busy.
I will set you guys up on a play date if you want.
That'd be great.
That's great.
Here's the thing she thinks about my friends. If she was ever really at game night, it's like, have you ever seen The Far Side? The
yes,
the
cartoon.
Yes, of course.
Those are the people that are here.
Awesome.
There's something slightly wrong with all of us.
Right. So is there some?
It looks like we all
and
look normal.
And you haven't heard my conversations
really
with myself.
Well, I mean, you're all actors.
Right.
What do you expect?
So Kathy Najimy is, I mean, where do you think people, like I know you from Kathy and Moe.
Great.
And
thank you. That's a good place to go.
Yes. That's where I first...
Explain to the pod people what Kathy and Moe is.
So Kathy and Moe in the early 90s, I would say 91-ish.
I would say that's exactly right.
God damn it, Judy. Kathy and Moe had a Broadway show, off-Broadway, mm-hmm. and then, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Moe Gaffney and Kathy Najimy doing skits. Very feminist-oriented...
comedy,
topical, subversive, hilarious. The light just went on when I just said, I just want you to know
that's
that.
The
that
light.
Was weird.
That's the light that we have somebody in the other room flicker when we want it to wind down.
Oh, okay.
So
and
that's your 5 minute warning.
that's
your
nice.
Light.
Thank you.
I loved Kathy and Moe.
I loved Kathy and Moe. And
I
it was
it.
Really, you have to admit that if you go back and look at Kathy and Moe stuff, that is basically what Inside Amy Schumer and all of these shows are really hybrids of, and you guys were really the first to take this situation, I don't mean sitcom, but I'm saying
sketches.
These little sketches,
yeah.
which are situations, mm-hmm. and get the most unbelievably subversive yet poignant point across through comedy. You made the audience think. The thing that we don't have now is people don't want to think anymore.
Right.
They want it right in their face. What does that mean? I need a sound bite.
Right.
And you guys were fucking amazing.
Thank you so much. We had our, our Martin and Lewis stretches spaces, right. You know, where you work with someone for 20 years.
Right. How did you guys meet? We're both from
San Diego. We met because Mo's apartment burned down and her roommate in San Diego and her roommate Cecilia said, and Mo said, well, let's go to our mom's. And Cecilia said, no, we must go to Kathy and Jimmy's. So they came to my house and I hadn't met Mo. And Cecilia went to bed crying and Mo and I stayed up all night making fire jokes and laughing our heads off.
Okay, so who was Cecilia?
But
did you know her?
Oh, yeah, she was my friend.
Okay.
And she was like,
Cecilia, you're breaking my heart. You're shaking my confidence daily. Oh, Cecilia. I'm down on my knees. I'm begging you, please, to come home. Bom, bom. Come on home.
Yeah.
All right, sorry, go.
Yeah.
So how'd you know Cecilia?
Cecilia was just my friend.
Wait, were you an actor, but you were living in San Diego?
Yeah, but I wasn't really an actor. I never really got a job in San Diego.
Okay,
it took me to move to New York. You know,
how old were you at this time?
When I moved to New York, I think I was like 29.
Okay, so did you go to college?
Yeah, I went to San Diego State.
All right. So,
I only took crazy classes like, you know, women's
right
lib and gay literature and, you know, crazy things.
That's fine. I think you've used it. But you grow up, your father's a postman.
It's not like, what are you going to do with gay literature? You're going to grow up and be what? A gay rights activist? Kind of. Well,
was your mother like, I don't know what Kathy's doing. Just glad she's getting an education.
No, because by the time I was the youngest of four, by the time I came around, she could give a shit.
Right.
As long as I wasn't in jail.
Right.
I wasn't on drugs. I wasn't pregnant. She actually
The older siblings? Did they all succeed in life?
I think success is an individual.
Right. Of course.
Thing.
Okay.
None of them are famous.
Right. No,
but they've done things they like.
Are you the favorite?
Of who?
Are your parents alive?
Oh, not anymore.
Right.
That's so crazy. My mom just died in March.
Oh, right.
So I always say my dad passed away when I was 14 in my mom's life, but my mom passed away in March. But yes, I was their favorite. No,
right.
I don't know.
You know you were. I was the favorite.
I think my mom was like, she kind of liked that I was a crazy feminist mm-hmm. and sort of a gay rights, women's rights person. But she was always like, she was sort of like, you're just doing it to get attention. You know, she didn't really get it until, you know, I have a gay sister
right.
who's married to a woman. That would make
disgusting.
A lot of sense.
Yeah, gross.
That is disgusting.
I know. How do they do it? Like, what goes into what?
Yeah, seriously.
So grotesque.
So gross.
So I think it made sense to my mom
when
later.
When did she come out?
My sister?
Yeah.
She came out. I don't think she's really even out, but she did have a wedding.
How can you not be out a wedding?
She's out. Do you know that every gay person isn't necessarily a political person?
Right, of course.
Do you know what
That's
I mean?
That's true.
Like, yes. I'm married to a man currently, but I'm just a political person.
Right. I'm a political person too.
Right.
But
my sister is, you know, just a great gay person. She's
right.
not like a gay activist.
Right. And that's fine. But then don't vote for a Republican because I know, but there are gay people who are like, you know, and I'm just like, people died so that you and your family can have the same rights, be treated equally.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, oh, I don't give a shit.
No.
Fuck you.
You can't be a person of color. You can't be a gay, lesbian, bi, or trans person.
Right.
And be a Republican.
Right.
There's no way. Because you're just voting against yourself.
Right.
You can't be a pro-choice person and vote Republican.
Right, right.
I mean, you could do whatever you want. We're not going to come to eat
right,
your
home. Right, Caitlin.
Homes.
But
Judy might. Judy will come to your home, and then she'll berate you for not being better friends. She'll play
because
your piano.
I love you.
I'm kidding.
And you crack me up. All
you're
right,
a rebel
so,
without a cause. So you're the loner.
What?
You're the cool loner in the corner with the cigarette.
I am?
Yeah.
Do you smoke?
No. No, proverbial.
Proverbial. So you're in San Diego. Your father's a postman. Is your mother a stay-at-home mom?
Yes. Four kids.
Four kids.
Poor.
You're Lebanese.
Lebanese, yeah.
Are you second generation?
Yes.
You're second generation.
Yeah, my parents were both born. My mom was born in Beirut.
Okay.
Wow.
So here you are, and you're Roman Catholic.
Yes.
Wow.
Okay.
What's the difference between Catholic and Roman Catholic?
I don't know. Roman Catholic is more strict.
I think Roman Catholic, they like younger boys, and then regular Catholic, they like, you
teens. 14 and up.
Yeah.
I'm on board with that. Not with that, but with that theory.
Yeah.
Not with the practice.
So,
My
husband was an altar boy.
He was?
Yeah.
Yikes. Does he have flashbacks when you're having sex?
No, but he feels a little offended that nobody even made a pass at him. For 5 years, and he's like,
what the hell?
Well, you know, look at him.
Exactly.
All right. Anyway, so, okay. And so you're...
It's weird to be in my living room holding a mic.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you're in San Diego. You're on welfare.
Some of the time. Now, my sisters and brothers might roll their eyes when they hear that because we were on welfare for a summer.
Right.
And it was very romantic for me to like get like the brick of cheese and to go to the welfare drug camp. So we were on welfare for a summer. But we were, I would say, lower working class.
Right. Now, you go to school.
Yeah.
Are you involved in the theater?
I am. I try to be, but I never get cast in anything. I'm only in anything because my best friend, Steven, was the lead in everything. And he said, I won't be the lead unless you at least give Kathy a line. So for my whole time in San Diego, I never got in any plays unless I produced them or unless Steven insisted.
Right. Now,
mistake.
As, you know.
Or a really great way to motivate me to flip them off and later in life.
Right.
True
and
that.
Do your own stuff.
Right.
Right. Like I have to.
That's
because
exactly.
I was told I was too tall for graduate school.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Bill Esper. Now.
Right.
Oh, my God.
You go to.
So that's when Mo and I came over in the fire and then we.
How
wrote
old
the
were
play.
You with the fire?
I think I was in my 20s.
OK.
And so Mo came over and I thought she was the funniest
How
person
were you
I ever
making
met.
Loving? Making loving. How were you making money?
I like the other question better. How was I making love?
How were you making money at the point? Did you have a job after college?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you do?
I worked at the phone company, AT&T. May I help you? Tipo si te 35 centavos para tres minutos, por favor. Yes. I worked at the phone company. I also sold gumball machines for the blind. I was an actor.
What?
Yeah, I was the only white actor in an all-black theater company. And I...
You were considered white.
Yes,
in that
and
theater
I
company.
Sold... Vacuums. Did I say I sold vacuums over the phone?
You did?
Over the phone, yeah. Yeah.
That's was, great.
Yeah,
but
so,
you
but
always aspired
to
act and be
You know, I inspired to act, but I this was my weird little dream. I had read in a magazine about La Mama, this little crazy experimental off-Broadway theater.
Yes.
And in my head, I thought I will move to New York someday and I will either run that theater or a theater like it and do great political, crazy, wonderful, creative plays.
I love La Mama.
I do
Me too.
Me too.
Okay, so.
But I didn't think, oh, I'm going to be like Marilyn Monroe. You know, I didn't think, but I liked.
Did you want to be famous?
No. Uh-huh. I didn't not want to be famous.
But it wasn't like, I'm going to be a star. Like,
no.
I was in my bedroom.
Yes.
With a hairbrush.
Yes.
You know, I'm like. I used to do a talk show in the bathroom I was on the toilet.
I did that too.
And I would, you know, sit there and interview people and then I'd be like, what are you doing in there? And then I would do my Barbara Streisand stuff in the bedroom with my hairbrush. Now.
Yeah, I knew, like, I did something called Drama Club, which, like, it was all the nerds who had no boyfriends or girlfriends.
All the outcasts.
All the outcasts. And we would meet on Saturday night, and we'd dress up as characters and go to restaurants and characters. We'd
oh,
do
cute.
Weird theater games in my living room. Mm-hmm. You should really talk to my sister, Mona, who had to go through all that. But I was, like, a drama freak nerd. Like, I liked getting together and doing crazy games having fun. And I think it's really, a lot of it has to do with really not being part of the popular group.
I don't live in Manhattan. I mean, like, I live my life in Manhattan, but I sleep in Queens. So usually, you know, either riding my bike over the bridge or taking the train or the bus. But, you know, it's like the trains have been crazy lately. And especially on the weekends, you know, if I have a late rehearsal or a late show or late shift, something like that, it's really tough to get home. And especially now in my new place, I'm right over the bridge.
Who got you that apartment?
You did.
Everything's about you. So,
late at night, you know, it's like, I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I don't want to walk like for an hour and a half, but I don't want to wait for the train for an hour and a half. So I end up taking these car services. New York's got a bunch of them, you know what I mean? But a lot of them are only in Manhattan.
Really?
$5 one, you know, it's like in Manhattan only. And it's only from this street to this street.
I've used a couple others, but I use Lyft most all the time now.
One of the bigger ones.
Surge.
Their surge pricing kills me. It's like they find any reason to jack up the prices.
If it's raining?
If the Pope's in town.
I can't afford that, which is why I'm living in Queens and not Manhattan.
Just like that, I feel safe, too.
And you'll never wait in anticipation. You'll know if you have time to go to the bodega, get a pack of cigarettes or a donut or something like that while you wait, because you can see exactly how much time they have to get there. You can see their little GPS system on the map and follow them around. It's a little stalkerish, but really, really convenient. And right now we have an offer for up to $30 off of your first three rides. All you have to do is go to lyft.com/gold on your mobile device. It'll automatically upload the app for you. You download it there and you'll get $30 off your first three rides. Like $10 off of each ride. That's like three free rides from Judy's house to my house. This is gold. Get it?
Hello?
Yeah, I mean,
that's what I tell kids
all the
time.
You make your own fun.
Yeah. I'm like, if you think, don't get annoyed with the popular kids, because this is the highlight of their life.
Exactly.
It is. Senior year's over. Their life is
They're
over.
All working at the Dairy Queen.
So
delicious.
You meet Mo and you're up all night.
We're up all night. And
like,
then,
give me a fire joke.
Oh my God, what is, so well, like I'd say like, are you hungry? You know, and she'd say, yeah, can you, do you like make me an egg and a piece of toast? But burn it! And then act like she was crying.
Right.
But, so then
I have some burnt chicken in the fridge. Okay.
So then we started improvising characters. Like, this was our first one we ever did, which was Maddie and Sibby. Mm-hmm. I was Madeline Samuels and she was Sibby. And we would just talk like this, like if you were hydrated day long.
Right, of course.
And said, what do you want for lunch? Yes. I don't know, tuna. No, not the tuna. The tuna's turned. What else? What about something
well,
else?
Well, I egg salad.
Egg salad is good. Here's the thing about it. It's E. coli. I think you get E. coli with the eggs. They must be
no, but
very
if you
good.
Hot boil them, you don't.
If you high, but how many minutes do you goddamn boil
now
a hot?
Now here's what I've done research.
Yes.
So you put the egg.
Yes.
In the water cold.
In cold water. How
yes,
does it cook?
I'll tell you.
All right.
You
stop
put
yelling.
It over the flame.
Yes.
Now, once the water is boiling. Now, when I say boiling, I mean bubbles.
Hot.
I mean bubbles.
Okay.
I mean big bubbles.
All right.
Not the little
I understand.
Ones that come up.
I understand the concept of a bubble.
Okay, but also the egg is moving because the bubbles are moving.
Okay.
You know, that's
so you boil, we call it boiling. You
okay,
boil the
yes,
water,
yes,
you
yes,
put
yes,
in
yes,
the
yes.
egg.
No. You don't. I said you put the egg in the cold water.
Water. Then
sure
you boil
the
it.
The egg is covered by water.
Of course.
Then you pour.
You don't want half a cooked egg. You don't want the part that's.
Right.
Exactly. Right.
Then you boil it.
Understood.
Until it's big bubbles.
All
you know,
right.
I'm talking.
If she says big bubbles one more time, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Okay. Then.
Yes.
What the egg is moving around because
right.
it's like a tsunami in there.
Okay.
Okay. And then you turn off the flame and you cover.
Oh.
And you
ring the secret?
You cover.
You cover
Leave
the secret.
Leave it for 12 minutes.
All right. Meanwhile, I hate eggs. Why are we talking about eggs so much?
Because the tuna turned.
I like tofu. I don't give a shit what anybody says.
The tofu, I can't.
Yay!
It's a sponge.
So we would just do
right,
that.
So
we would
yeah.
drive along, and then somebody said, "Will you come do those characters at an AIDS?" That was during the AIDS epidemic.
Yes.
Time.
And you were an AIDS activist.
I am still. Yep.
Yes,
and
me
was.
Too.
And thank you.
You're welcome.
And so we went up on stage and we improvised in front of this big group at this AIDS benefit. And then we just started writing down things
so
that we thought were funny, but nobody else would.
Okay. So huh. what made you move to New York? So you're doing
okay.
this in San Diego.
I'm doing it in San
but
Diego.
But you're also like, you're 20, you're in your late
20s. Yeah.
And which is late sort of to start
of
this.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, I never really
was thinking about it.
No, okay. I was thinking about it, but it wasn't really working out so much. Like I would do community theater plays, but
never
get money. So we were driving one day and I said, I put in a transfer to the phone company. It came through to New York. We're both moving to New York and we're going to do the Kathy and Mo show at a little place called Don't Tell Mama at 1 in the morning on a Monday night.
Huh.
And she missed the exit. We ended up in Tijuana because she was so freaked out, but she said, okay. So we moved here and we did it at Don't Tell Mama at 1 in the morning. And then we kept doing it until Off-Broadway people, I bothered the hell out of people. I wrote to every famous person. It didn't even make sense. Like I would hear the name David Letterman. I would go, great. Dear Mr. Letterman, my name is Kathy Najimy. We have a feminist comedy show we think you'll really like. I mean, anybody who
and
had who, anything
and
to do
who
with
wrote
anything.
That?
Well, finally, because I wrote so much.
You know
much.
What's amazing about that? It's like you have to be that clueless and fearless.
Oh, clueless.
And I remember the beginning of my career where I was just like, fuck you. Yeah. You're going to make it after. You know, I like, fuck you. You're not going to stop me. And then it's just like you get beaten down and like, okay, I won't call you anymore. No, don't worry. I hate myself as much as you hate. You know, it just get you, you know.
But I would have never, now I would never. I remember I like wrote to the producer of The Tonight Show. What? I'm in a little gay
but
bar.
But I love that.
I'm in a gay
That's
bar. One in the morning.
Who wrote back?
Okay, so finally, because I browbeat people so much, I called them every day and I wrote them every week. I know, I had a crazy
What if
business
I started
sense.
Doing that now, do you think? Think that would help? It would be like, I need a restraining order. Judy Gold keeps calling me. I don't know. I understand that, she, you know, she wants something, but she's had a career. At, yeah, go
Make
ahead.
Her stop.
Go ahead.
So the people who wrote back were Carol Rothman and Robin Goodman of The Second Stage.
Oh, yes!
And then somebody from a bigger the ballroom. It was a cabaret space mm-hmm. in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And then some publicist. And they came. And then, you know who really actually made us popular? Were the Broadway casts. The casts of the Broadway musicals would come after right. their show. And they spread the word.
Right.
Those chorus boys fucking right. loved us. Mm. So then that, and then we just kept... then HBO came around.
I know. So that was amazing. So you got this HBO special.
Yeah. Well, HBO produced our Off-Broadway one, and then right. we got an HBO special.
They don't do that anymore.
I know.
I find that so annoying.
Well, there are no HBO specials anymore.
Well, they have them, but they're our specials and, you know, like outside producers produce. It's like, I had an HBO special in 95.
Right.
And I won the Cable Ace. Anyway, and that was the end of my career. So,
We had one in 95, too.
You did.
Our
I know.
Second one.
Yeah, I know.
Remember the Cable
You win!
Remember the Cable Ace Awards? We really thought they were something. And
I know.
The American Comedy Awards, too.
Yes! I got nominated twice for the American Comedy, and I won the Cable Ace. And when I won that Cable Ace, I'll never forget it, because it was my birthday, and Maureen McCormick gave it to me. And
no.
I am the hugest Brady Bunch fanatic.
Oh, my God.
And I was
God.
Like, oh, my God, I can't believe Marsha. And, like, all I cared about was that Marsha Brady was giving it to me. Not that I won, but that I fucking was standing on stage with Marsha Brady.
That's really cool.
Isn't that unbelievable?
That's really
Where
cool,
is the
mom?
Cable Ace right now?
It's in my shelf. Now, I never put awards out, but then a therapist told me I have to put them out.
Oh,
they were right.
And they're out, but I
Why,
hate them.
Why? Because they're pretty or to
because,
impress people?
No, not to impress people. To impress almost Judy or to give her some sort of like, look at what you've accomplished and what you've done, you know.
In my shitty fucking apartment with one bathroom.
I mean, it's Manhattan.
No. Look at this fucking place. We are in Kathy Najimy's palace.
You can't.
This is the most.
Compare.
Like, when I think of my dreams as a young child living in New York.
Yes.
Because my mother grew up here.
Yeah.
Moved to New Jersey because my father had a job in Trenton. And
what would your father do?
My father was, he is the youngest person ever to pass the bar in the state of New Jersey.
Really?
And then he was too young to practice. And he went into World War II. And when he was being examined, his father owned a saloon, right? And he was very abusive to my father. But my father was the sweetest, sweetest man. One of four, and they were all women. His older sister, Sylvie, was a bitch cunt. Anyway, so, but the other two were nice. Anyway, so when he was being examined, the doctor knew him and how sweet and nice and said that, I guess, something was with his eyes. He got a desk job in World War II,
okay.
essentially. I mean, he was armed, but he ended up in England during Blitzkrieg.
Wow.
And then he came back. And he could practice law, and he got an MBA and was a tax attorney. But he ended up correcting the bar and CPA exams, and he would do the essays. And and he would come on the weekends because he wrote the tax laws for the state of New Jersey. He worked in Trenton. He wrote those fucking tax laws. And then he would come in during like 3 or 4 times a year. And go to the, what should we call it, building of 49. Anyway, and they would correct the bar exam. for New York and New Jersey. And so they all had, his was essays, and they all had multiple choice. And you couldn't leave. No one could leave until the last person was done. Wow. And they hated him because he would read every word of every essay. Huh. Because he was like these kids, you know.
Is he still alive?
No, he would be 100 in March.
Wow. Really?
Yes, he died in 1990.
He'd be 100 in March.
Yeah.
God bless him.
I know, March 5th. And my
mother. Yeah, I guess my dad would too.
1916, my father was born.
Well, okay, if my mom was 86 and she passed last year mm-hmm. in March, and my dad was 10 years older, he'd be 97, yeah. Wow.
Maybe they're up there talking.
I doubt it.
Okay. So,
what did I ask you? We got off in your
I
dad.
Know. Why did we talk about my...
Because you were talking about something.
This is what...
Hennessy.
Oh, this is my job. Damn, I was so into the story.
Okay, so Kathy and Mo...
Oh, because you mentioned that you lost your mother. And then you asked Judy if
is your dad alive?
I said my mother grew up here. Wait.
Oh, when I was little, I imagined myself in an apartment like that's how you started.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It like this. I kind of wanted a brownstone, but I always imagined I'd have an apartment like this in New York with a fucking baby grand piano.
Ah.
Like I have a shitty upright.
That's my second boyfriend's piano. He couldn't get it out, I don't think,
nice.
Of the place. And we were in L.A. And then we broke up a long time ago, obviously, because I've been married for 20 years. And I got the piano in the breakup, which is nice.
That's
He's a so brilliant
sweet.
Pianist.
And where's he now?
He is with his boyfriend in California.
That's fantastic. Sweet. That's He's shocking that you would be with a gay guy. Now, all right, so you're in New York. Kathy and Mo is going great.
Yes.
Then you start, you know, you got.
Then we got the HBO special.
Right. Veronica's Closet.
No. Well, what happened was they said, do you want to be in the movies? And I said, I want to learn how to be in the movies because I don't know how. So my first audition.
Yeah, that's what I said too.
Well, because I didn't want a huge part and not know what the hell I was doing.
Right, right, right.
So I went and met with Terry Gilliam, who's brilliant. And he said, so do you want to be famous? And I said, no. Not really, but I'd like to be in your movie. And then I was in The Fisher King. That was my first one. Then I did small until Sister Act.
Yes. You
and
were
Hocus
the best
Pocus.
One in the whole, both of them, one and two.
That's nice.
The best.
I like her. I don't care. Thank you. She was late. I like her.
It's okay. Yeah. You can call me whatever you want, Kathy.
It's the hair.
Is it the hair?
No, yeah. It's, you know what?
Is it the hair or the voice or the boobs?
Let your hair down.
You think I'm letting
all right. If you're listening, we're letting Hennessy take his hair down.
You
know what? It's amazing. When he was in my class, that's a guy. You're a dude.
Yeah, there you go.
That's dude-ish.
Okay.
But when he was in my class and he finally.
I don't know why it matters.
He finally came.
No, not really.
And I had him talk about going to X Gay Therapy. Like, I teach a solo performance class, but no one's allowed to write about bullshit. That's the thing. So a lot of people leave because they can't handle it.
Right.
And when I got to Hennessy, and I'm like, oh my God, you have to. And it turns out his work was amazing. But then Ivy, one of my students, was like, oh, my son's transgender. And like, it was. And it was a safe place for Hennessy to perform as a transgender without any, you know, sort of judgment.
Yeah. Well, to perform stories from my existence, like, God, you go through a depression when you write about yourself, I feel.
That Judy show I went to, have you ever suffered from depression or anything?
You know, I probably should. Because if I start to feel depressed, I don't allow myself to take the time to be depressed. I'm like, I get on the computer and do my list and do the things.
No. I'm talking about deep, clinical.
No.
It's awful. Anyway, we discussed it with Dick Cavett. He was another guest on my podcast. Anyway, so here you are. You start getting movies.
I start getting movies.
I was the warm-up for Mo's show on Comedy Central.
Which one? Women Allowed?
Yes,
or the Mo
I was
show?
The warm-up.
That's brilliant.
And I loved it so much. And I did the whole year. And then I called what's her name, who was producing it. And I was like, I remember because I was in Chicago working. I'm like, oh, am I coming back? And and I think, honestly, I think I was too funny because I would go out there and they were all like, Judy, yay, Judy. And it was I didn't, you know, I was getting them so excited. And then
it wasn't as exciting when they started shooting. You know,
you're saying Mo wasn't as funny as
no, it wasn't Mo. It was the Mo. Format. It was me versus the format.
Mo, I have her address.
I think I would get them to sing the Brady Bunch and do all this shit. And then they were talking about funny. They were talking about women's issues. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Right. Right.
So, you know what? I don't know. Yes. But they fired me. So I was really upset because I really had a wonderful time and I love Mo. All right. So
Mo's funny.
Mo's fucking brilliant. All right. So anyway, so, you know, you're getting and you are a, what we would say a character actor. You are a character actor, but you're savvy. Like you're friends with the right people. I always think of you as very in the right groups, friends with the right. Like you, I feel like you have that. Like thing where you can be friends with these fucking people and be on the same level. You know what I mean? I'm always like,
you have that too.
No, I don't.
You're both
I'm not
legends.
In her fucking. With I'm not in her. But she's in a cooler group. I'm with comics.
Legendary comics, and y'all have very similar friends.
All right,
whatever.
So,
I love the idea of who she thinks I am. It's really tickling me so
I know.
Much.
So
like,
anyway,
I figured, both golden gods.
So
anyway,
around with and like why I hang around with the people I grew up with, like that I know. The most famous person that I know, who's a very good friend of mine, I've known for 25 years before she was famous. So we were just friends. So,
right. And that's
but
great.
I wish,
I'm glad you had those friends.
I love your idea of me.
I just want to be. Here's what it is. She's, you know, show business like high school, right?
Yes.
So I feel like I'm one of the kids who's like in every group. Like I'm in the nerdy group. I'm in the burnout
the
group. Yeah. Right. I'm in the, you know. Yeah. I'm in all
San Diego
that group.
Girl.
Yeah. You're in the really fucking cool group, which I'm in, but I'm not in it. Like, you're cool and you just, you scratch the surface with everyone else. Like, hey, oh, hey. And everyone's like, okay. Yeah, Kathy's really nice. She always says hi to me. But I'm like the, oh my God. Like, I get neurotic with it. Like, I don't know. That's what I feel
can
like.
Can you please do a one woman show about me?
Yes.
I think it's the most entertaining.
Thank you.
What you think of me is so hilariously wrong, first of all.
Uh-huh.
But I'm so awkward and wrong in almost every situation. I'm always the one wearing the wrong thing.
No, you're
drama free.
I'm always the one talking about something political. And,
now, that
know,
is
like,
what the other thing I want to say. First of all, Dan, your husband.
Yeah.
I have been a fan of his forever.
I'm sure
okay.
he'd appreciate that.
I love him. I love him. If I ever had a show, I've always wanted him as the band. I know.
You should do him on this podcast.
I know. I said I wanted to do him.
Oh, he'll have the best time.
Yes, cool. I want to do him. Anyway,
that'd be the fun. Right pronoun.
Yeah.
So, get out of here.
Can you ask me something?
Yeah, early,
and you can,
yet.
But you could edit this part. Hold on.
Yeah.
Earlier, you referred to him as Lauren.
Right. That's his name.
Lauren.
Mm-hmm.
Or
yeah.
Hennessy.
Yeah. Is friends call last? Me Hennessy because that's my last name.
Oh.
And also, a lot of people have said it's easier for them to identify me with my name is Hennessy rather than Lauren as a dude, which is funny to me because Hennessy seems like such a funny, like, hi, I'm
no,
Hennessy.
But Lauren, I just worked with a Lauren. It's Lauren. I know plenty of guys named Lauren.
Right.
Oh, see, that's where you trip me up because Lauren, to me, I've only known female identified
well,
people.
I haven't.
All right.
Anyway,
yes, story
I
of my life.
I want to interview this person way more than talk about me.
Uh-huh. Anytime,
is a much
Kathy.
More interesting person than me.
No, anyway, no, no, that's not true.
Okay,
so
all right. So you're cool. You're,
I'm cool. I'm
you
so
know,
cool.
And you're political.
You're so cool.
Now
I'm very political.
Right. So, but
and that
you,
is awkward. People don't love that at a dinner party. They don't want to hear me go. That's offensive. Can we talk about why?
Okay. So
I love it.
I do. Politics and too
yes,
and I get really
I saw you the other night at the Ms. Foundation fundraiser and you killed it and you didn't have to try to be a boy in the what is normally related to in the boy comic world to be your brand of funny, which I appreciated.
Thank you. I think I've been doing that forever. Mm-hmm. Like I'm just a comic, but I all see like my whole goal was that I wanted to be a great stand-up. I didn't want to be a great gay stand-up.
Right.
I didn't want to be a great Jewish stand-up.
Right.
I didn't want to be great female stand-up. I just
right.
wanted to be a great stand-up.
Right.
I happened to be those other things.
Right.
And I talk about those other things.
Right.
But I want to be a great stand-up.
Yep.
So now, as I look at you, and I've always known you, and I think your politics came, I mean, Kathy and Mo, I mean, was very controversial at the time.
Very.
And
I think about the way feminism, AIDS activism, the gay rights. I mean, I remember I was at the first AIDS walk. I worked at the first. The minute I moved to New York, I volunteered at God's Love We Deliver in 1984. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember the AIDS crisis and was hands-on, like, always. And now I see these kids and I say, don't, you can't forget. You cannot.
Well, it's not over. You're right.
It's not over. And they all think it's some, you know, chronic disease and not. All right.
Right.
So we.
Well, it is a chronic disease.
I know. But yeah.
Have you seen the HBO Larry Kramer in Love and Anger?
Yes.
Ooh. Oh, my God. My daughter came over the other day. She wanted something. I forgot what it was. And I said, Sam, you absolutely can have it. But you have to sit down and watch this documentary.
But I also. I have gay friends who hate him. So.
Larry Kramer?
Because
yeah,
he's so
the thing
mean.
As. Fine.
Because they think he's mean. But
well,
I,
he is
I,
mean.
But I feel like.
He is mean. But he saved 50 million people.
Wait.
I'm in the Fabletics VIP program. I just spent my first month there, got my first outfit. They just sent me an email showing me all the new stuff they got in. I'm really, really stoked about it. I can't wait to wear it out, man. It's starting to get warm outside. I'm really excited for spring. The Under Armour they sent me helped me get through the rest of the winter on my bike. This stuff is top quality, stylish activewear for every woman. And you gotta check out their FL2 site, which is on Fabletics.com/Judy, and that is their men's site, which is what I've been going to. It's the same great quality as your favorite luxury brands at half the price, at least half the price. It's workout gear for women, men on the go, exclusive styles, outfits released monthly. It's quick and easy, and you'll get a complete outfit for just $25 with free shipping and exchanges. There's really nothing to lose. Try it just for the outfit at least once, 1 month. You'll love it.
I can't believe how inexpensive and how cool looking the stuff is.
I know.
Like some of the stuff I was like, oh, I could just wear that as a shirt.
And Kate Hudson.
I know,
awesome.
She's so cool. I love her. I love her mother.
Oh, I love her mother.
I know, Private Benjamin.
God damn it, Overboard.
Okay, why can't I just have a movie with a Jew?
Oh, you can.
All right.
Okay.
She was really good in Private Benjamin.
Fabletics.com/Judy.
I have to say something. When gay marriage passed in New York,
yeah.
And everyone was like, woo, woo, and I was like, big fucking deal. It's not, it doesn't matter because the federal government, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he said that too. And I was like, he's known as a curmudgeon, but I fucking agree with him.
Yeah.
It's not enough. Okay.
Yeah.
So
he has personality flaws, but he's changed the
right.
world.
And I, yes, I
and
agree.
You know, Gloria Steinem once said to me.
I love Gloria.
I love her too.
Tell everyone who you're having dinner with tonight.
I'm having dinner with Gloria.
See? She's in the fucking cool group. You're in the cool group. Like, I couldn't have dinner. I couldn't call Gloria and
guess
say.
Guess what? You actually could.
Called Gloria and said I'd like to have dinner, and she'd be like,
she'd say,
why?
Okay.
Why? No, she wouldn't. Go.
So much fun. It's crazy. Go. We were in Africa together for her 80th birthday.
See?
With an elephant.
I went to fucking Africa. You're in the cool group. I'm not kidding. I'm in the, oh, I performed for Gloria, and she laughed.
You're like the
You're
anybody's
in the fucking, I'm in Africa on an elephant with Gloria fucking Steinem.
But I'm like the nerdy friend. Like
Shut up! Okay, so.
Wait, something we were talking about, which is really interesting.
About the activism
AIDS
and
activism,
how.
And, yeah.
But so I believe, I am on the same course as you, different. I mean, I'm a feminist.
Yes.
What?
Kathy is reaching over and here. Grabbing Judy's breast.
Yeah, you like it?
I was just trying to see how eloquent she would be as I grabbed her boob.
No, I don't care.
Right,
Colin Quinn always grabbed my boob. And then Alyssa
you can grab my boob.
And be like, you let Kathy grab your boob? I'm like, oh my
oh,
God.
Alyssa knows what Alyssa and I have done.
Elisa, I know.
Elisa.
Whatever, it's an annoying name. Anyway,
yeah.
But I love
she
her.
Likes
so
to be
anyway.
Called Alyssa.
And then after you say that, you have to talk about the restaurant. Go ahead.
Yes, we'll talk about the restaurant. So anyway.
Nice.
First of all, I really feel like this has to be a two-parter because I have so much shit I want to talk about with you,
yeah.
But,
and
you have to go to therapy because
yeah.
Lauren was late, but,
yeah,
I'm
I have
worst.
To go to therapy because of Lauren.
Yep.
Yeah. So,
yeah. That's the story of my life.
Okay. So I have been a feminist my whole life.
Me too.
I'm loud.
Well, yeah. I mean, loudness isn't necessarily something that is feminist, but you're loud.
I'm just saying I'm loud about my feminism.
Beautiful.
Right? You know, I'm loud. I'm not one of these. Gloria is not loud.
No.
Gloria is not loud. She's very nonplussed. You know, like, you look at her in interviews where she's being attacked by, you know, William F. Buckley Jr. Mm-hmm. And she's very great. But actually,
and then says something so wise and cutting,
right? And it's like, you know, which is what we don't have anymore. Now we have Donald J. Trump and Sarah. I can't. I could go kill me now, right now. But yeah. I'm trying to wait till the end to kill me now.
Right.
Parts.
Right.
But I can't fucking believe that this country, when I think of the '90s and the shit we went through and how far we came with, first of all, if it wasn't for the AIDS crisis, mm-hmm. I mean, that really pushed marriage equality.
Right.
You know, when you think of all the warriors, the Harvey Milks, and all these people and all the horrible things that happened to us, that is what the impetus for these movements. But now I feel like, and I read you said something like this too, there's a lot of little movements. Like, I always think, where's the rage? Mm. Where's the anger? Where's the fucking, you know, walk on, you know, in the mid-90s, we had a lot of marches on Washington. Now it's like, I'm a little group but I'm specifically for people who have zits on their ass and are feminists.
Right, right.
You know,
right, right.
It's, I feel like,
we were a lot more organized and we were a lot more grassroots. And now, see, it's also different living in New York, because I grew up on the West Coast in San Diego and then LA. And it was easier to find a community, like the gay community, the feminist community.
Right.
New York is all one big, great liberal community. Thank goodness.
Right.
But it's hard to find, like you said, like, where are the March on Washington's? Like, I did the very first March for Choice. All the gay marches on Washington.
You know what I did before that one?
What?
I went and performed for the Reform Jewish group that was marching. I had so much fun. We in the hotel before the march.
Oh,
I went and did a set.
That's cool.
For the Jews that were marching. But you know, my mother.
But then there's hope, because then there's my 19-year-old daughter and her friends who come over here and talk about sexuality,
mm-hmm.
who talk about gender identity, who talk about rights, who talk about gay rights, and women's rights. And they are really, really progressive.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
So progressive. And they really have a different kind of fire. They have the fire that we have about different issues.
Right.
Right. But because of your fire, they get to experience that as a normality.
But yeah. They have their own, like, they're so like, you know, my daughter is a singer, and sometimes she'll make videos.
She's amazing.
She's very
She sang
talented,
at the Gloria 80th.
Yes.
And she is and I remember they had Henry and her had a play date.
Yes.
Remember that? And she was humping the one of the dolls. You were like, oh, she's humping the doll. She loves that doll. And then they were playing. Baby. Yeah, yeah.
She's going to love that.
Like the puppies.
The two of them got along, though. They hung out.
Yeah. I remember you came over to when I was doing Dirty Blonde.
Yeah.
But,
and then you dumped me, remember?
No, you dumped me. You never invited me again.
I went to you. I hate you.
You've never invited me to your place.
You're coming over. We're recording the next half.
Are there stairs? I don't do stairs.
No. Fuck you.
There's an elevator.
There's an elevator.
Thank God.
You're coming over.
At bad knees.
Then part two will be at my apartment. And then you
That's
will.
That's a great idea.
Okay. And then you will be like, oh my God, Judy, what happened? What happened to you? You were so promising.
No. Will there be snacks?
Oh, there'll be snacks.
Thank God.
Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, I but feminism. Anyway, so she does these videos and she wears sometimes like a black bra and blah, 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 blah. And like, she says, like, I go, Sammy, really? You have to? And she goes, yeah, like, it's none of my business what some creepy men think of me. I don't give a shit about them. I'm going to wear what I want to wear. I'm not going to dress in defense of what people think and how distracting it might be. Mm. I'm going to dress however the way I want, and the world can just walk on by and get it, you
Amen.
Know. And
walk on by,
bop, and they bop, have bop, such gender bop. Fluidity. They were just here the other night for Snow Weekend, and it's so black. It's like how it was in the '80s, no, in the '70s when the lesbian movement came out.
Yes.
And lesbians said, we need to be identified. We need to be respected. Right. We need our name. We need you to call lesbians. And at that time, even though we were rabid feminists, it felt uncomfortable.
Right. Mm-hmm. I tell a story about Margaret Smith. Remember Margaret Smith?
Yes.
I've told this story before, haven't
yep.
I? Margaret Smith was a comic and very androgynous. I love her. Right. And she had the best. She's great. Anyway, so we worked together in Buffalo. And then she said, Judy, I would love, you know, you want to open for me? And so we started working together, and we went to Buffalo. Or no, we went to Chicago. She had a girlfriend in Chicago, Debbie Seward, who was lovely. And she said, I want you to, we're going to do it in a lesbian bar. And now I wasn't in. I just never talked about it, my act. You know, I just had no. And so I said, okay. And I was kind of nervous. And I'm a fucking lesbian, you know? Mm-hmm. And we go to this dyke bar. It has a stage. And there's these fucking dykes, like hardened. And we're talking late 80s, you know? And I'm so intimidated, you know? And I'm like, but Margaret, why do they have to, you know, it's like, I love, they're really nice, but they have to wear like tool belt and the thing. And she said, you know what, Judy? They're doing you a favor because they're not hiding and they're not afraid to be who they are. And when people see them, they know exactly who they are. And I was like, it was like a fucking light. I was like, that's right. That's right. They're nonconformists. They are who they are. And it's amazing. It's amazing that one little experience. Yes.
Yeah. And I wonder how many of those lesbian women were actually trans men, and how, like, that is the community that I would love to see more integrated. I mean, I think the trans community and the gay community are a little bit at odds, you know, because it is two different issues. But God, the gay community carried the trans people for so many years.
Right. That's why I hate Caitlyn. Caitlyn?
Jenner.
Yeah.
Fucking, first of all, Republican, but that's fine because I have friends who are Republicans, which we need to discuss too.
I have
so
any
many other
friends
I'm
who
not
are
even
Republicans.
Done. Okay. Yeah. Look.
Yes.
Caitlyn
yes.
is evolving on marriage equality.
Yes.
Evolving with the community. Not, that community has been fighting for her rights for 100 fucking years. Mm-hmm.
For the right for her to come out so effortlessly and so easy and
right.
so comfortably and so like with no danger.
Right. And also, like, you know, I said on stage the other night, I don't know where I was. I was like, you know, it's so funny because all the trans people I know, you know, they get the surgery, they get new cheekbones, they get, you know, mm-hmm. it's like her story is not the story.
Right.
And her values are, it's no, that's not a Martin Luther King. That's, you know.
Right. Well, I mean, really good point. And here's what I think about all the time, and I'd love to hear what you think. It's so fascinating to me that someone has a gender switch from male to female. And not a gender switch, but
sex.
Know, yeah. So, and then what they emulate is what a very few people, mostly men, have decided women look like.
Right.
Like, why doesn't Caitlyn look and dress like you?
Right.
I think at
or
first,
you or me.
During the first bit of transition, it's like you're going through another puberty, you know, and your hormones are kind of going crazy. Like it's like when you first came out, maybe, you know, or I know a lot of my friends when they first came out, they're like, I'm gay, I'm proud, I'm this. And it feels so good to finally like own your identity that I feel like they're like, we never got to do this stuff in public. You know, we never got to do like a lot of trans guys. I know when they first transition, they all grow beards, you know, because
yeah,
right. they never got the chance to do it and to.
Right.
express their masculinity in this way. And then a lot of them end up shaving
lipstick.
It later.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
But
that's the thing.
Femininity isn't Spanx and lipstick.
But
femininity is all of us.
Right, right. But they have body dysmorphia for their whole lives.
But no. First of all, you look at this example of transgender. He, as a man, was the manliest man.
Well, she as a man was the manliest
right,
man.
Right. Was the manliest
right.
man.
Right.
And now she is... this
she is
image
she.
Of what society
right.
has said is the woman.
Yeah, which is
and
so not really
right.
a woman.
Right.
It's
so
a
she
woman.
Is the stereotype.
But,
like if
but she is
say,
also in Hollywood where women are this and men are this.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
She's the she
that's
is Ms. Hollywood.
I know, but
point.
She I don't but,
it's just so funny to me that most of the transitions that I've seen have gone to a place that, like, our calendars in garages where mechanics work, like those right. pictures of, like, I don't know women who dress like that. But then there is that far-reaching idea of what a woman is.
But then I look at Laverne Cox. I've seen some pretty masculine trans women
who are kind of, yeah, who you know, are gay or whatever and who are pretty dressed down and stuff. Right. I think maybe you don't notice them as much because right. they're not as flashy.
Yeah, but I mean, Laverne Cox, I love Laverne Cox.
Yeah.
And she is, now, that's someone who I feel had a journey.
Right,
definitely.
And has a story that's right. way more fascinating and more, I don't know.
Compelling.
Than,
well, yeah.
Than, ugh. Okay, right. So what, so here we are now. We have done. Are you showing me your tits?
Kathy just whooped out her boobs.
She's touching my boobs.
No, I'm not. Oh, they're hot. Anyway, so.
This is the best day of my life.
I know. So, Kathy, so here we are. Like,
what,
you
Judy?
And I are on this forefront. And now yes. there's a new feminism. And
yes.
there's a new gay rights movement.
That's good. That's really good.
What are you looking at? My fat stomach?
No, I'm trying to concentrate on what you're saying.
Okay. But there is, I don't know if the direction is, I don't know. Okay. Look, I don't think feminism is being able to talk like a guy.
Oh, of course not.
And I think a lot of young feminists are like, oh, well, I'm going to talk exactly the way, you know. What I'm trying to say that I'm not saying is that we are still women. We're equal, but we're women. We're not equal because we act like a guy. Do you know what I mean?
Not. Of course not. Yeah. What makes you think that?
Well, I think a lot of comics, male and female, you know, guy comics
that's
now.
That's a different thing.
All they talk about is porn. I swear to God. So, you know, when I was starting.
My dick.
Yeah.
My dick,
I mean, it was like, oh, my wife, my girlfriend, this and that. But porn is a huge topic.
Yeah. I know where you're going. It makes me sad when women comics feel like they have to. I don't know that it's authentic or organic, but they have to do the same shtick that male comics, we're going to say traditional male comics, because there's all kinds of male comics, but the more, you know, stereotype.
Right.
That these women are doing the same routines, but just substituting pussy for dick.
Right. And anal and great.
And that's fine.
Like,
and I get that it's fine. And I encourage talk about sexuality and all that, but I want to make sure first that that's really what she wants to talk about. That's really what she thinks is funny and not what she thinks will make her valid and accepted.
Right.
And part of a boys club.
Right.
That's what I get concerned with when I see too much of that. I think, oh, you could be funny just talking about your lunch.
Right.
You could be funny talking about your family.
Right.
Your relationships. Do you feel like you have to do the same stuff that male comics get famous for?
Right.
Because you don't.
That's what I see a lot of.
Lily didn't and Ellen didn't.
No.
And
everyone was different. Whoopi Goldberg, that show changed my life. That was when I said, and I know that happened to you too. And I love Whoopi. Mm-hmm. But I feel like you're right. It's like now this is what women are talking about. So this is what we're going to talk about. But it's.
I mean, if it's in there organically, that's hilarious.
Right.
I don't have any moral judgment about it. I just want to make sure that women consider that that's the funniest thing that they think is funny.
Right.
And that's what they want to talk about organically.
But you also,
not what they have to talk about to be accepted in clubs where there is boy comedy.
Right. I also believe, I love that the Amy Schumers and the Rachel Feinsteins and you know, they're dressing sexy. Because I always dress, well, that's how I like to dress anyway, but I love that they are dressing as women.
Yeah.
Because it used to be you could never but I also believe that this is a big part of their lives, and that's why a lot of comics, I mean, I believe Amy, and I believe Rachel, and I believe all the, name more.
Whitney Cummings.
You know, I believe that is.
Sarah.
Sarah. Oh, Sarah.
Mm-hmm. Love.
Sarah.
Love.
We coached a basketball team in LA together.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I love her. Anyway, so
that would have been the funnest team to be. You coached a basketball
me,
team?
Me, Henriette Mantel, and Sarah Silverman.
Are you kidding me?
I know. Well, she's coming on. She's coming on. Yes. So,
we
coached this stupid basketball team in LA when we all lived there. None of us were famous. Okay.
That's so amazing.
And we had so much fun. Anyway, do you have to leave?
Yeah, because I have a half an hour. Wait, so we're just going to do part two.
We're going to do part two. But,
And this one is going to bake something. Bake something.
Oh my God. I'm both of your slaves forever.
Okay. No. So, yeah. So we want to do part two, but in part two, I really want to know what fucking pisses you off.
Okay.
There's so much I want to talk to you about.
Can you edit these together?
We're going to do a two-parter, right?
We can edit them together. Yeah. If we record this within the next week or two.
Yeah. I have to do it this week because I'm going on a Lesbo cruise.
For how long?
A week.
Oh.
We could do it next week too. Then afterward. I think we'll still.
Okay. No one fucking cares who's listening.
It's 100% American made. This mattress has got 3 foam layers, including a top cooling foam layer. So you don't gotta switch your pillow over every 5 seconds or wake up next to a sweaty lover or dog.
It's L-E-E-S-A. Lisa.
Right, Lisa, not like the name.
Right.
So you go to lisa.com/gold and you get 100 nights. To try out this mattress, risk-free. 100 nights. If you don't like it, okay, which you're going to, you can send it back and get your money back. For every 10 mattresses that they sell, they donate one to a shelter. For every one mattress they sell, they plant a tree. And if you do want a refund, they'll give you your money back and they won't even take that bed away from the shelter and they won't uproot the tree that they've planted. They'll keep their word. How awesome is that? So if you're ready to start sleeping better and want to give back to your community, go to lisa.com, LEESA/gold, and get $75 off your order.
Because my name is Judy Gold. Anyway, before we stop, I'll ask one question.
Okay.
That I always ask.
Okay.
I'm not going to ask you the kill me now question because should I do the kill me now question? What do you think, Lauren?
I mean, I'm sure she's got a bunch of kill me nows, so why not?
All right, we'll do one and I won't ask you the other one.
No, kill me now. Do you want something like in the world kill me now or like minute, petty?
It doesn't. So when can be anything, but what is the one, and there's a lot. We're going to do more next time, but yeah. I want any, like, where you're like, I fucking kill me fucking now.
I mean, obviously, I thought the whole Donald Trump thing was a joke, like Ronald McDonald, that we'd all laugh. And that's why I never paid much attention to it the first couple of months. I was like, that's funny. I can't believe that seriously we are walking among. I don't care about Donald Trump. We all know he's a ridiculous, misogynistic asshole, like a joker.
Right.
Who cares? He runs a reality show.
Right.
What scares me is that we are walking amongst like 30% maybe of Americans. We're walking with them that think that Donald Trump in any way, forget his politics, but just who he is as a person, in any way could make policy, international policy, with people. People are afraid about protecting our country. The moment that Donald Trump is running for anything, the people who hate us are going to really react in a really violent way. And I don't blame them. He's
racist Parliament.
And insulting and horrible and awful. So, but it's not him. We know that. It's that really, you guys, for real, we're walking amongst maybe 30% of our people, our humanity, that would elect him.
Yeah, take him more seriously.
You know
than
that he's flip flopped. You know he was pro choice forever because
hung
out.
Oh my God,
people.
He's such a Democrat.
And then like 2 weeks ago, he's like, I'm anti. What am I supposed to be? I'm anti choice.
Yeah, right.
I'm anti. What am I, anti gay? Whatever will make.
What am I supposed to be?
But and we know that. Who's surprised? He's a ridiculous, bumbling fool.
Right.
But that our
and
country.
And that they fucking I know.
They believe him.
I can't.
It's crazy.
It's weird.
The saddest.
England, they're trying to. They had a whole meeting with Parliament to ban him from. Can you imagine? He's like, I'm going to do the Middle East peace crisis. He'll be like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
Stop being ugly asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Take the sheets off your women.
Did you hear about what he said? He could stand on Fifth Avenue, point a gun and shoot anyone, and his poll numbers still wouldn't go down.
Yeah.
Okay, this is the other thing. Can I do my kill me now for today?
Wait, yes. But can I do an ancillary one?
Yes.
Kill me now. If you are a business person on a phone taking my order for something, mm-hmm. or I'm asking a business question about something,
Lord, yeah.
please can you just, when I'm giving my phone number, don't interrupt me in the middle of the phone number because you'll never hear it and I'll never be able to get out. 323. No, three. Yeah. 3-2. If you six, 9-8. No, hold on. Just be quiet while I say the whole thing. 6-9-8. No.
I know. Shut the fuck up.
Be quiet. Let me just say it. And also, I bless everyone. I am equal with everyone, but we're not friends. So I don't want for an hour you to go, thank you for calling. Have a nice day.
Oh my God.
It's lovely.
We really appreciate
it. Is there anything else?
When you
really
call Apple,
how's Samia? How are you and Dan doing? What do you have for breakfast? It's like, just say, I got
have you ever called AppleCare?
Thank you so much.
They're like,
goodbye.
Hey, bye. How's your day going? Hey, what, doing anything fun this weekend?
Shut the fuck up and fix my fucking computer.
Just,
hey, so I heard there's
anybody
a snowstorm.
Anybody who's on a phone,
yeah.
yes.
I want those seconds back. I want them all back.
I know.
Because be kind and be, you know, polite and say thank you. Thank you for your business. And I say thank you so much.
Wait.
Janine, for you. And hang up. But not like, is there anything else we can do for you? Nope, we're good. Are you sure? Nope. But we really appreciate your patronage. Thank you so much, Dean. But I have to go. Okay, Kathy, was if there's anything else you can
do? Oh, my God. Uh-huh, and it's like, do you want me to tell you about some other ways? No! I don't. I want you to fix my fucking computer.
Would you like to take a survey?
Would you like to take a survey? I hope I've been helpful. If there's any. No, you're so fucking shut the fuck up. That's why we're on hold, because they don't shut the fuck up.
That drives me crazy. Too long of a phone
call. That's a good one. That's a fucking good one.
Too long. Hang up. Just say thank you. I got the order Tuesday. Goodbye.
That is a fucking I love that one.
You were a professional, AT&T.
AT&T, can I be? I would take the phone, take my, well, when we had phones with, you pulled off with a handle.
Right.
And I would literally.
She's jerking off with the phone and like, touching her tits. Thank you.
I would stab myself with the phone. I still do it now. I will rub it on my genitals, hold it right. up in the air, like fake scream at it.
Right.
Anyway. Like,
yeah, I know. I want to do a whole Kill Me Now episode only about customer service. Yeah, so we're going to have to do that. It's got to be a call-in.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Because we got to do Verizon, AT&T, Time Warner, Cable, okay. RCA. I mean, there's so fucking many.
I've got a
Amazon,
plug for that.
AOL.
Plug the phone in.
Oh,
Mac Store, Apple, phone company, AT&T.
Then what about when they're like, hello, my name is Robert. How can I help you? Where are you, Robert? Hello, my name is Robert. Your name's not fucking Robert, okay? So, it's not. And you're not fucking here.
How sad, though, that like they make them have... Like
I know
names that aren't their names, and I mean I'm happy for international employment, but when it comes to a
it's called
communication,
outsourcing. Right.
When it comes to a communication, strictly communication, I would like to be able to, I'd like for them to understand me, mm-hmm. and I'd like to understand mm-hmm. them.
Mm-hmm. Robert, that's your slave name. What's your
yes,
real name?
I know. Hello, my name is Samantha. No, it's not. No, it's not Samantha. I know. And then I always go, can I speak with someone in the United States? I always ask that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they're like, please hold.
I mean, I don't mind because I don't feel like there's borders. I'm like one of those people who like, I don't understand.
Well, no, because they don't
because
help.
We're all just one piece of ground. It's just where you're
I'm
standing.
I'm fine if they're going to help. But if it's like FedEx and
if
all that shit,
understand.
Then I have to. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had one other kill me now.
Hey,
wait, so we had Trump. We had Trump. I had a fucking kill me now thing. That I forgot.
Uh-oh.
I don't know.
Well, it's my interview, so end on me.
It's part one, baby.
Ooh.
Because
she did
I have so much. Look at all this shit.
I know it.
I have so much shit I want to talk to you about.
All right. And do you guys edit this?
No.
You just leave it as is?
Yeah. And people like fucking love it. It's great.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I want you to edit just a little bit of Judy's, if you could.
Shut the fuck
sure,
up.
You got it. Whatever you want.
That's really nice. That's really nice. Well, we're here with the cool...
Oh, and Hennessy, I'm having a party tomorrow night. What are you doing? You free?
Oh, I'll be there.
All right, darling.
Yeah.
Fuck!
I love you, Juby.
I'll bring Judy as my date.
All right, I gotta go, people.
All right. You know what?
What?
This is the end of part one. Part two, I better fuck it. We'll be at my apartment.
Okay.
It'll be so fucking noisy and miserable. You're gonna feel sorry for me. And then you're going to let me join your little fucking group.
Well, come back here. We'll do it here.
What?
I don't want it to be noisy.
Okay, deal.
All right.
All right, bye.
I'll take pictures.
And everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long.
When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online, schedule package pickups through the dashboard, and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.